Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dubin, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Mondays at 1 a.m., and then we are archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. I do the archiving. Go way back. The shelves have gotten long and dark back there. I haven't put the lighting in yet. We also link to our guests' websites. We'll be giving you the website of our guest here in just a couple of moments. And we encourage you to check out the information on the various websites because they've got all the information you need. You won't find it at my website because I don't reinvent the wheel. What we do, though, is we want to guide you, if we can, and if you're interested, down a path that is uniquely yours, but with information that is available to everyone that very well could assist you in becoming whatever it is that you want. Like maybe, I don't know, a miracle worker. Well, that's part of the title of the latest work by Bruno Signacco, and he is the author of How to Become a Miracle Worker with Your Life, all the way from London, England, and good evening, good afternoon, good morning to Bruno. Thank you so much for joining us again. It's great to have you back. It's been almost a year.
Thank you very much for your invite, Richard. Thank you very much. Here is like evening in London.
Well, I will tell you that it is exciting to be able to talk about this very powerful ancient technique to solve any kind of problem in a permanent way. That is rather unique to be able to say, to resolve any problems in that regard, because a lot of us have been through all kinds of different programs that we think we've resolved the issues, these conditions that exist, and then all of a sudden they pop up out of nowhere, and it's like, well, wait a minute, I thought I dealt with that already. I thought I passed that test, as it were. And in your latest work, you talk about problem solving that's permanent. First of all, talk to us about that.
Okay, this is a very interesting question. I want to comment that in my last book, I talk about Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is an ancient technique, a Hawaiian technique, that is used to solve any type of problem in a permanent way. Many people, when solving problems, they use some methods, for example, analyzing the problems in a logical way or trying to look at the problem in a creative way. Or in some cases, they look for the opinion from experts. All these methods are correct, but in practice, they deal with the consequences, not with the origins of the problems. In this technique that I will explain in detail over the interview, this technique, Ho'oponopono, an ancient technique that focuses on the origins of the problems, try to uproot the origins of the problem and solve the cause of the problems. For this reason, when you eliminate the cause of the problems are solved for good, as compared with other techniques.
Now, this is, as you say, it's ancient. Help us to understand where this comes from. Where did it really originates? How old is it? Because when I think about, for example, traditional medicine versus what I consider to be some of the oldest medicine, Chinese medicine, over 5,000 years old, I would trust it before I would trust traditional medicine in most cases, because it's going to help me and not hurt me in the process.
Well, this technique is very ancient. Many scholars say that it's many centuries old, and I will say that it's probably this old. And also, according to my research, this was used by Hawaiian communities to solve the conflict between different groups, not only the conflict within a family, but also conflict between one family and another family. So this was solving problems intergroups or intragroups. And of course, this technique was updated to the current, to the contemporary times, and obviously it's much easier to use. It's much more portable. I call this a portable technique. You can take with you at all times, and you can use this on any occasion. This technique is important to highlight. It's very simple to use and can be used to solve any type of problems, not only financial problems, problem of lack of money, but also problems such as problem with relationship, problem with career, or also health problems. Many people have tried this technique very successfully, and I tried myself many times, and I tested, and it's very powerful. It's very simple to use, but it's very powerful, and in practice, many people have to test and sell this technique to be convinced how powerful this technique is.
Now, this technique that you're talking about, the process, all of the information that they would need to facilitate the resolution of these problems on a permanent basis is available through the book. Is that correct?
It's available through the book, but obviously in this interview, I will give you the most important aspect of these techniques, this technique. And to put it simple, this technique is the use of four important sentences that are very powerful sentences on a continuous basis. When you use these sentences on a continuous basis, and the sentences are, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. When you use these four sentences on a continuous basis, you are deleting the cause of all your problems. From this technique perspective, the cause, the origin of all your problems is your subconscious memories. To put this in other words, all your problems affecting your life, relationship problems, financial problems, career problems, health problems, are all caused by your subconscious memories. What is going on in your life, negative or positive, is caused by what is inside you, in your internal environment, in your subconscious mind. For this reason, this technique is very powerful because it's uprooting the cause of the problems instead of dealing with the consequences, the problems themselves. And many authors, they call this technique an inside-out approach. You improve your inner environment, your mental environment, to improve your circumstances, your outer environment. Many problem-solving techniques use the opposite approach. They try to deal with the outer environment without changing the inner environment. And for this reason, many people, when they use this approach, the traditional approaches, they see problems coming up again and again in their lives because they didn't uproot the cause of the problems. This is what made this technique so powerful. And of course, in the book, I provide with a lot of exercise, but the basic technique is to say on a continuous basis, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And you can say these four sentences in any order. You can use one or many of these sentences. You can say these sentences aloud. You can say these sentences silently. You can say these sentences to yourself, or you can say these sentences to the divine. You don't have to say these sentences to any other person around you. You say it to yourself or to the divine. And when you use these sentences, you are receiving the assistance from the divine that will help you delete these subconscious memories that are the only cause of all your problems. These subconscious memories reside below the level of your awareness, and you cannot access them directly, but you can delete them by saying these four sentences on a continuous basis. These sentences shouldn't be said only once. They should be said continually, because you have countless subconscious memories to delete. You have been accumulating countless memories over time because of your, for example, the upbringing in your childhood, the contact with colleagues, friends, the media, the impact of the media on you, organizations that you have been related, and also the government, the church, communication. All this is creating subconscious memories, and we are constantly incorporating subconscious memories. For this reason, many masters say that the use of this technique, which means saying, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, is equivalent to housekeeping. You cannot do the housekeeping work only once. You have to clean your house and tidy your house on a continuous basis. If not, it will get dirty and untidy. The same happens with your subconscious mind. You have to say these sentences on a continuous basis so that with the assistance of the divine, you delete these subconscious memories that they are the only cause of all your problems in your life.
I'd like to spend a little time here, maybe defining slash dissecting slash putting under the microscope each one of these phrases as it would apply. And if I'm understanding you correctly, because what we're dealing with is in our subconscious, which we are not aware of. I mean, we're not consciously aware of it because it's in our subconscious, if I'm correct. And yet we know that the subconscious memories are affecting our conscious life and existence. Then we don't need to know what it is that needs to be healed, if you will, or resolved. Because by saying these phrases, these four phrases, it's going to bring them up. And so whatever first comes to mind as far as, let's say, an issue or problem, that's what you deal with first.
Perfect. This is a very good analysis of the technique. And I want to add to this that when you use these four sentences on a continuous basis, you are right. You don't have to know what subconscious memory should be deleted. Because you receive the assistance from the divine, these memories will be deleted with the divine loving energy. And the divine knows what memory should be deleted and how should be deleted. So you are not working on your own. When you are using Ho'oponopono, this ancient technique, you are working in partnership with the divine. And this is very important. So these four sentences also comprise four important values that are repentance, forgiveness, love, and gratitude. So comprise four important values. And this sentence, I want to add also that you can write down these sentences and read them. You can say these sentences aloud. You can record them and listen to these sentences. It's up to you how you use these sentences, but this should be done on a continuous basis, on a frequent basis.
So if we are going to deal with the first one, I am sorry, we're talking about acknowledging our role in that particular issue, our part, the part that we played, because if we have issues we're dealing with, we had to play a part in establishing them as blockages to our awakening and our living a fulfilled life. Correct?
Correct, correct. And the sentence, I am sorry, this means that you are sorry for manifesting all this negative situation in your life, and you are taking full responsibility for all of them. You are not blaming yourself. You're not casting blame on yourself or on others, but you are, on the contrary, you are providing with love regard. This sentence is very meaningful because you recognize that you were a slave to these memories, and these memories are the only cause. But by saying this sentence, you are naturally atoning for all your past mistakes, and also you show the commitment to the clearing process. Because when you start with saying, I'm sorry, and you do this on a continuous basis, you show commitment, you show willingness to delete the subconscious memories. And you want to be freed from your subconscious memories to receive divine inspiration. Because the freedom is not only from subconscious memories, but to receive divine inspiration.
Now, this has to come from a place of egolessness, of selflessness, because you can't say, I'm sorry for whatever issue might come up in your conscious mind from this, I'll call it mantra, and say, well, wait a minute, I was a victim. It's not my fault that I was abused or that this happened or that happened. If I'm understanding you correctly, those aspects of blame, as you've already described, they are not wrong, but they're irrelevant to the process. We don't want to get bogged down in those irrelevancies, do we?
This is correct. But I want to add that you shouldn't be blaming yourself, shouldn't be blaming others, but you shouldn't be feeling as a victim either. It's important to highlight that you should feel responsible, not a victim. It's not about victimhood, because victimhood could be related to negative feelings or negative thoughts, but on the contrary, it's taking full responsibility. And also, by doing Ho'oponopono in continuous basis is an exercise of awareness. This means that your mind and your awareness is not clouded anymore, but you realize that all your life had been taken over by these subconscious memories. Not only your thoughts, not only your emotions, but your actions and also your self-image, the way that you behave and the way that you perceive reality. And by saying, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, you are taking full responsibility. And you are right also that this comes from a place of egoless place, because you are providing yourself with unconditional love. Because when you say, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, it's not conditional love. You don't love because of this. You love unconditionally, mm-hmm. for no reason. This is very important. I like this approach because it's an egoless approach, a selfless approach, not a selfish approach. And this means that you love yourself and you love everything around you for no reason. You are not bargaining with yourself to love yourself, mm-hmm. but you love because you are a loving being, lovable being, and a being to be loved. So you love yourself unconditionally. And you see these four sentences are generalization, mean that they do not have any exception. You don't say, I am sorry, except for... No, you say, I am sorry. And you are sorry unconditionally. You don't say, I love you, but... except... No, it's I love you at all times, on any occasion, mm-hmm. By all means. So you love from all perspectives because you are a lovable being. You are the spark of the divine.
As you say each of these sentences, there's a period at the end, not a comma, not a hyphen. It's
very
a period.
Important.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and this applies to any situation, because many people will say, but I'm not sure if I am taken over by my subconscious memory. When I deliver some courses here in London, people tell me, but I'm not sure. You are not sure that you are taken over by this subconscious memory. This doesn't mean that you are not taken over by these memories, because we have to understand that we cannot access these memories directly. Even though we cannot access them directly, they are dictating how we feel, how we see reality, how we think about reality, how we feel, the emotion that we experience. Everything is taken over by these subconscious memories. And this subconscious memory can have different names. They can be called beliefs, they can be called values, they can be called perspectives, they can be called in different ways. But what is common to all these memories is that they're ruling our life. We are not the master of our life when we're taken over by these memories. And by doing this technique on a continuous basis, we can recover this ownership of our life. We are taking full responsibility, because we start deleting this subconscious memory that are the only cause of all our negative circumstances.
When we move on to the next one, please forgive me. You know, it's starting out with the word please. I suppose if you drop that word, forgive me, it almost sounds demanding in that respect. Whereas with the word please, it is taking a position, I think, from my Catholic upbringing, a position of contrition. You've already sought repentance as saying, I'm sorry. Now you're taking a position of please forgive me. Now, a lot of people, when they ask someone to forgive them, they're looking for the response, I forgive you. And in some cases, because the grievance is so deep for the other person, they say, I can't forgive you right now. And we hear this often, especially when we see on the news these horrific events that take place around the world. And sometimes there are people who will come up and they will say, I forgive so-and-so for what they did. Let's talk about this aspect of forgiveness, because for some people in the conscious mind, how can you forgive? And let alone, how can you ask for forgiveness for what you did, kind of thing? If let's say you're the perpetrator of that act.
A very important question. And I want to highlight that when you say, please forgive me, you don't have to wait for forgiveness from anyone. you are automatically forgiven. When you say, please forgive me, you don't have to say this sentence in a judgmental way. On the contrary, you have to surrender and take responsibility. When you say, please forgive me, you are pardoning yourself for all your wrongdoings of the past, but also you admit, you realize that these wrongdoings were created by your subconscious memories. So again, it's an exercise of awareness. You don't say, please forgive me to any person around you, because this might be confusing for, but you say, please forgive me to yourself, and you're automatically forgiven. And also, or you can say, please forgive me to the divine, and you're automatically forgiven because you are a lovable being, a loving being. But also you are aware that when you say, please forgive me, again, you are aware that you have been controlled by programs, we call the subconscious memory program, and when you say, please forgive me, you are willing to undo all these wrongdoings creating. And again, please forgive me, you're not only taking the load of the burden of guilt or the negative feelings about things that were going wrong in the past, but also you are freeing yourself from these subconscious memories. Again, all these four sentences are focused on the release or the deletion of the subconscious memories. And there is a very interesting example that many masters say that is applicable to this technique, that when you say any of the four sentences or all sentences together, it's like, for example, typing the key on your keyboard of the computer, clicking on the deleting key. When you have, for example, you are typing on the computer and you make a mistake when you are typing, you press the deleting key. You don't have to feel like you are about to delete the mistake. It's like a mechanical process. You press the delete key and the mistake is deleted. In the same way applies the Ho'oponopono phrases. When you say, please forgive me, it's like the delete key on the computer that you press, and this is contribute to the deletion of the subconscious memory, to the eradication of the subconscious memories. It's like a mechanical process. You don't have even to say these sentences, any of these four sentences, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, in a heartfelt way. You don't have to say, you can say this in a mechanical way, and these memories will be deleted all the same. For this reason, obviously, forgiveness is a very important value, but once that you say, please forgive me, and you say this on a continuous basis, you are pardoning yourself for all wrongdoings in an automatic way, because these memories that were the only ones that created your problems are being deleted with the assistance from the divine.
Now, you mentioned the direction, shall we say. It's not a real direction as far as north, south, east, west, but the focus of this mantra. You can focus it on, as you said, you've already said already, the divine. You wouldn't necessarily go to someone and recite these words, because most people probably wouldn't understand what you're doing or why you're saying these phrases. So this is more of an internal process.
Correct.
That you really do keep it to yourself. People are going to notice the effects as you're doing this internally. It's going to create a whole new vibration in you, within you, and for you, correct?
It's correct. And also, there is a very important principle in Ho'oponopono that they say that everything is interconnected. When you do Ho'oponopono on a continuous basis, and I agree that it's an internal work, not only your personal situation, your current circumstances will improve, but also the current circumstances of people connected to you, around you. So very, very important, because if you say this to the person around you, you are not applying the technique in a correct way. So you have to say these sentences to you or to the divine. And because we are all interconnected, when your situation is improved, when you're deleting your subconscious memory, not only your own personal life will improve, but also the lives of people around you, because we are all interconnected. And also, this is a very important principle that also is stated in a whole chapter of the book, that the principle of interconnectedness. And what we do is not affecting ourselves only, but it's affecting people around us. So when we delete these negative memories, these subconscious memories, we are not only improving our life, but we're improving the life of people around us.
Can you give me the etymology of the word Ho'oponopono? Where does it come from and what does it mean?
Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian word that means ho means performing or making things, and ponopono, that is repeated twice, means a correct, right. So in practice, Ho'oponopono implies making things right or amending your wrongdoings. And this is a very succinct way to define this technique, because obviously when you say these four sentences on a continuous basis, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, you are amending your wrongdoings. Why? Because you are eliminating the subconscious memories that were the only cause of your wrongdoings. So the wrongdoings were not caused by you, but by your subconscious memories. So by doing this Ho'oponopono on a continuous basis, using this technique on a continuous basis, you are amending these wrongdoings. It's very, very important. And pono, the Ho'oponopono, the second part is like emphasized twice. So making things correct. So we are focusing on amending our wrongdoings or making things in a correct way.
I think this would be extremely valuable in the new year for people, instead of resolutions, to begin this process of clearing away things. We're going to talk more about Ho'oponopono. We're going to talk more with Bruno, and we're going to talk more about his book about how to become a miracle worker with your life. That's an interesting differentiation as opposed to in your life. But that would affect it as well. Stay tuned. We are Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are talking about Ho'oponopono. You've never heard that word before. Well, if you've been listening to this program for the last half hour or so, you have heard the word a number of times, pronounced, I believe, correctly by myself, as well as my guest, who is coming to us all the way from London, England. And I am very grateful that Dr. Bruno Signacco is with us. We are talking about the process of how to become a miracle worker with your life. I want to get back to the last two lines in this four-line mantra, as I'm calling it, Doctor, but I want to actually jump into the aspect, especially, titles are very important. Words are powerful. Words have power, or we wouldn't say the words that we do when we speak. We choose the words that we know or are aware of. Hopefully, many of us are increasing our vocabularies. We're using new words that have different energies, different vibrations, maybe even better. That's one of the reasons why when we talk on this program about death and dying, I usually use the word transitioning. Has less of a negative connotation for a lot of people. Passing on, it's okay too. But in the title of your book, How to Become a Miracle Worker, what do you mean by miracle?
Well, this is a very interesting question too. And so there is a definition of miracle from Saint Augustine that says that miracles are not contrary to nature, but only contrary to what we know about nature. And this is very important, because when you are using this technique on a continuous basis, you will notice some changes that cannot be explained from a rational perspective. Things start to improve in an effortless manner. Your life, for example, your career or your finances start to improve in a way that is not a linear way, but in some cases, like taking some quantum leaps. So for this reason, I use this word miracles, because in practice, we are miracle workers when we're using this technique. All problems in our life are gradually solved in an effortless manner. Many people believe that to solve problems, you have to make a lot of effort, and also like work hard, or think much much more creatively. But in this case, this is the opposite. So when you're using this technique that only implies saying these four sentences on a continuous basis in a committed way, the problems seem to be solved in an effortless manner, in a very easy manner. For this reason, this is like a miracle that you are created with your life, and the purpose of this miracle and behind this miracle is all the deletion of these subconscious memories that are creating all your problems. So very important, and you are, when you are using this technique on a continuous basis, because you are freeing yourself from these memories, you are to manifest a situation that you couldn't manifest before because you were blocked by this subconscious memory. So things start to unfold in a much more effortless manner. Your life becomes much more miraculous. So, and you tend to be a much more loving person, and things tend to unfold in a much easier way. So this is very important to understand. And this cannot be explained or analyzed in a clear or rational way. As, for example, science tries always to explain things in a rational, logical way. Well, things will start to unfold in a good way, in a positive way, but you won't find a clear explanation why. For this reason, when you are using this technique, you are acting as a miracle worker with your life, and your lives tend to unfold in a very easy manner.
You know, the implication here is that using your life becoming a miracle worker with your life implies your life becomes a tool, becomes something that can be used like a hammer to build a house in a productive aspect, or build, as you've stated, a better life, not only for yourself, but for others around you. One of the old sayings that we all grew up with, I'm sure, in our respective countries and languages, was that you can't change other people. And as I've been doing this program for over 8 years, I've come to the realization that that saying is wrong. You can change people, but you don't do it on a conscious level. When you become a miracle worker with your life, you recite these four sentences over and over again to release those blockages in your subconscious, you change, and subsequently change your vibration, and you then subsequently change the people around you, going to that interconnectedness that you described before the break.
Totally agree with this. And also, when you say these sentences on a continuous basis, you will start to feel differently. You will feel that, for example, your actions will tend to be much more spontaneous, and also you might have a much clearer vision of the purpose of your life. Many people don't have a real purpose for their life, or they call what we call dharma. And when you start also doing Ho'oponopono on a continuous basis, you will find that your life is much more meaningful, much more purposeful. So, and also you will feel much more spontaneous, less constrained, and much more present also. Many people tend to be a slave to the past, or also when, for example, feeling guilty or feeling like regretful, or tend to be slave to the future, too much worry, too much anxiety. When you do this technique, you tend to be much more present and try to enjoy in a playful and graceful way the current moment. So there are many benefits, and I completely agree with you on this. Very important for the listener, if they want to try this technique, to be committed and give a try to this technique, because they will start to see the benefit very, very quickly when they do this on a committed way.
And that's the real key. And many of the techniques and programs and step-by-step this and that and the other that we have been given over the years by many people with very good intention, I don't want to take anything away from what they are offering, but it always seems to be lacking, because it's, even though they say, oh, it's simple, it's very simple, you know, and yet you go through the book, or you go through their program, their workshop, their seminar, whatever it happens to be, and it doesn't, it doesn't come across as all that simple. There's so much that you need to be aware of and that you need to do and so forth. And it sounds to me like this is truly simple. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to focus on anything. You just say these words. I mean, it makes me think of, I grew up in this industry working for a Christian radio station, and I was the producer for a program called the Radio Family Rosary Hour. And uh-huh. The irony was it was only a half hour long, but I would produce these programs, and in each program was the recitation of one of the three mysteries, the glorious, the sorrowful, and the joyful mysteries of the rosary. Mm-hmm. And then there was a short little talk at the end. And that's what this makes me think of, that if you wanted to get a set of prayer beads and use that to help you to go through those four sentences over and over again, say taking time for meditation, sitting quietly somewhere, or even if you're on the bus or if you're a passenger in a car or if you're walking, reciting these words over and over again, it's not like you have to focus on and think about and be mindful of other than these four phrases and just repeating them over and over again and getting into that rhythm. That's all there is. You know, it seems to me like if you become practiced at it, if you will, because it sounds to me like it's an essential process to be continuous, to be continued and continuous, there's going to come a point when you're not even going to be thinking about the words themselves. They will just be uttered out your mouth or in your mind, in your mind's ear, so to speak.
Correct. You are right with this. And also, I want to highlight that when you say these sentences, as you said, this become like an unconscious habit, so a positive habit. For example, when you're having this interview with you, in the back of my mind, these sentences are being repeated. So this means that I'm cleaning the subconscious memories at all time, 24/7. Because when you repeat these sentences continually, they became ingrained in your subconscious mind, and they're repeated without you being aware. So very, very important to start saying these sentences on a continuous basis. And of course, when you say these sentences on a continuous basis, you will experience also that your life is much more precious. So what I talk to people that use this technique for a long time, also they feel that their life were a bit worthless, or they were not like having the right way of committing to life. And when they start doing this on a continuous basis, at the beginning you have to be aware, because you have to say the sentences clearly in your mind or aloud, but then become like a very good habit. And we are people of habit. So we are human beings that we are focused on habit. There are some scientists that say that 95% of what we do during the day is about habit. We are not even aware of what we do. Well, in this case, you are creating a positive habit, because you are saying four sentences that are very meaningful, very powerful. And the purpose of all this technique is also very meaningful, that is erasing these subconscious memories that are the only cause of all your problems. So this is a way of creating a positive habit. And also, we have to remember that you are not alone. You are not doing this technique on your own. When you say these sentences, it's like you are using a password to reconnect to the divine energy, because you cannot be separated completely from the divine energy. But these memories are clogging your connection with the divine energy. So as you do this on a continuous basis, you are reconnecting to your divine being, your divine energy, your innermost potential. So very important, and I completely agree with your perspective.
We're talking about, I think, a very interesting and fascinating aspect of what we can become. I've often wondered what we will be in 100 or 1,000 years as beings, how we will evolve. And I think that a lot of people are under the misconception that it's going to be some kind of physical evolution that we'll grow another set of arms or more fingers, or, you know, we'll get rid of some more unnecessary teeth because we'll change our diets and on and on and on and on. But what I see happening is an internal spiritual evolutionary process that you and many other people are working on. Can we talk a little bit about that and your understanding, your awareness, your thoughts on the evolutionary process of the human being?
Okay, this is a very interesting question and could be analyzed from different perspectives. But from the metaphysical perspective, I see a very important shift in humanity, humanity that is towards the uncovering of the truth. So using different techniques, different approaches, reading books, taking courses. So, and as you said, the change is internal. Many people try to be aware of their thoughts, and many people are aware also of their wrong beliefs, and they try to change. So there is a shift toward personal and group evolution. I feel that in the future, people will become much more aware, not only of this technique, but other techniques. But also, they also believe, I feel that people are also realizing that they cannot control things. This is what I see many communities and also people that are related to me. People in the past tried to be very controlling, very like trying to fix things or trying to control things or try to plan every single detail. And now there are lots of people that try to use a different approach, that is surrendering. Also knowing that we are not on our own, but also we are supported in our action with the divine. Believing also in some important aspect like faith, but also the power of intention, the power of the mind. So these are all important shifts that I see in humankind, in human mind, and also humanity that could be obviously evolving much more for the future. But also I see that people are not taken over so easily as in the past by, for example, some negative media news, but they're trying to also to dwell on positive reading or positive thinking, practicing discipline like yoga or Tai Chi or reading interesting books. So I see a very important change. As you said, it's a change of mentality, change of mind, but also being aware that the change is possible, but the change should start from ourselves. So should the starting point is ourselves. Another important point from the evolutionary perspective, I feel that people are much more aware that they can contribute to make a better world. You see a lot of here in London and in the UK, you have a lot of charities, a lot of social causes. So people are much more social and I'm trying to be much more selfless, try to give with no reason. So try to love with no reason. So there is also a trend that is to much more to unconditional love instead of loving with conditions. So very important shift in humankind, because we see that in the past everything was much more calculated, more controlling. And of course, this shift will take some time, but I can imagine that humankind in the future will have a place that is much more evolved, much more to support one another, to recognize this interconnectedness, but also to recognize that we are all together, that we are all important, and we are all helping one another, and we learn from this beautiful process that is life, and we learn from relationship, and so we have to support one another. So this is my approach, and I feel that the approach is getting much more accentuated over time. I see in different groups and communities the approach toward unconditional love, the approach to interconnectedness, the approach to giving your time, giving advice, giving love, giving a hug, giving a smile for no reason. What many a master call the random act of kindness or helping even a stranger for no reason.
If you have just joined us, not to be overly facetious here, you're late. Because we've been talking about a lot of really interesting aspects to changing our lives, being more than what we are. And we are certainly in the process of evolving. And Bruno Signacco is my guest, and he has, I think, quite a fascinating book in his second work here that we've talked about here on this program, How to Become a Miracle Worker with Your Life, and talking about, if I get the pronunciation right this time again, Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono. I think I got it. And we're also talking about, and we left off with the four phrases that you want to learn to repeat over and over and over again to begin to clear the subconscious problems, issues, whatever you want to call them, in your subconscious, to free yourself to be able to thrive in life. We've talked about the phrase, I am sorry. We've talked about, please forgive me. You started to allude a little bit, even in the conversations, those two conversations, about the third phrase, I love you. And it's certainly directed from self outwardly, if in a manner of speaking. Again, not with an actual direction. But the word love is so, I guess, really, honestly, truly, it's really misunderstood. People like to put all kinds of labels on it. And of course, we've even had difficulty with language, period. I mean, it's just every language views these words, or this word in particular, a little differently. If you go to the Bible, you look at Corinthians, and it love is, and it goes down a laundry list of what love is. And certainly it's valid. Tell us from your perspective, I'm going to ask you to elucidate further. You've already talked a bit about it, about the word love in this context.
Very important. Thank you for the question. And the word love is very important. It's a very important love you on these four sentences. One of the sentences, I love you. And we have to understand that love is the most powerful force that exists. And many mystics or metaphysicians will say that everything is made up of love, in essence. But moreover, I will say that from the metaphysical perspective, love is the positive force, what is opposite to fear. So it's the positive force that has very high vibration. When you are in a state of love, your energy levels are going up. It's very important. On the contrary, when you are taken over by these subconscious memories that are creating your problems in your life, your energy levels are going down. So everything that is connected to love raises the energy levels. And love in practice is the true essence. And there is a very interesting experiment that is was performed in the past by Dr. Emoto, that is a very prestigious scientist, that he put two group of people in front of a glass of water. The first glass of water, the group of people were saying to this glass of water, I love you, I bless you, and all positive words, so with positive intention. The second group of people with the second glass of water in front of them, they were saying negative words. For example, I hate you, I kill you. Then Dr. Emoto took the water from the first glass and saw this water under a microscope, and saw that the molecules of the water that receive positive words such as I love you from people, have this molecule have very marvelous and beautiful structure. On the contrary, the water from the second glass that was receiving negative comments, I hate you, I kill you, was seen under the microscope, was observed under the microscope, and the structure of the molecules was ugly. This means that love is not only a concept, but it's energy. It's energy, it's pure energy, it's the highest energy that exists. God is love, and many religious people will say that God and love are synonymous. You cannot differentiate God from love, are the same things. So when you are taking charge of your life by saying these four sentences, you are connecting yourself to the most powerful energy that exists, and you're raising your energy levels. All aspects of fear that are only created by your subconscious memories tend to disappear gradually in a very graceful way. So on the contrary, when you do not do this technique on a continuous basis, you are being taken over by the subconscious memories that are the only creators of all negative energy and negative situation and negative circumstances in your life. And these negative situations are always related to fear. Some people say, but anger is not related to fear. Anger, sadness, or any other negative feeling is always related to fear, which is the opposite to love. So very important. By saying I love you and feeling that you are also loved, if you say the I love you, you don't have even to say this in a heartfelt way. But also doing loving, being a loving being, or doing loving actions, you are connected to the positive energy, the most powerful energy that exists. And when you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, or you say the four sentences, I am sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, which include the principle of love, you are connecting to the most positive energy that exists. And this energy also is coming from the divine. The divine is helping you delete these subconscious memories, because for the deletion of these subconscious memories, you are being assisted by the divine that provides with this loving energy. To put this more simple, love is the highest energy that exists, is your true essence, and you are a lovable person, loving person, and a person to be loved. And you are, in essence, love. Many people say, but I'm not love. Look into yourself. You are love in essence. Many people do not realize this, but you are love in essence. In some cases, you cannot discover that you are love, because all this love that is inside you, is part of you, is covered by these subconscious memories that do not allow you to access your loving essence. So it's very, very important. And we are not talking about conditional love. Very important to highlight. You can say, I made some mistake. You can love yourself even though you have some mistake in the past and you have some wrongdoings. You can take responsibility and you admit that this mistake were created by your subconscious memories. But you can love yourself all the same. You don't need any reason to love yourself. Many people are looking for a reason and they deny themselves the love. That obviously, but this is your birthright. You cannot lose this birthright at all, because it will be always with you. You are a loving person. You have loving essence. So by saying also, I love you on a continuous basis, you are becoming aware that you are loving yourself. It's an exercise also not only of self-awareness, but of self-love. Because if you say, I love you to yourself, remember, Dr. Emoto used this with a glass of water. And the glass of water of the first group was having positive structure. The glass of water from the second group has ugly structure. We have to understand that we are more than 70% made of water. So when you say, I love you on a continuous basis, you are impacting on yourself on a positive manner.
I think that that is very well said. And I know that some people who are seeking to try to find their life's purpose, that phrase, I think, would probably assist them in getting clarity on their life's purpose, because of, as you've described, what love is. And being of service is considered, I think, to be one of the highest forms of love, to be of service to others, regardless of who they are or what it is that that service is needed. And I've often found that fascinating when I see people such as, and in particular, and I had the distinct pleasure of being in the presence of Mother Teresa back in the 80s when she visited Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm originally from. And what an extraordinary vibration, but what an extraordinary person. It didn't matter to her what conditions she was walking into. And then some of the conditions that she walked into were just utterly horrendous. I don't think, I guess the phrase, but for the grace of God, go I. And I think that was the phrase that she often would probably utter, because there are some places I would not set foot in. I don't think you would set foot in, Bruno, just because it's something we our brains, our minds just couldn't handle it. But she had the capacity to not just be in the presence of, but even hold in her arms people who were in just in the most direst of straits, if you will, and showing that love and compassion, even at the risk of her own life. When you're talking about disease, I don't know that there's a greater example of selflessness and service to others as a Mother Teresa in at least in my lifetime.
Yes, completely agree, because she's an example of what unconditional love is, the matter of brotherhood, the matter of helping other people, the matter of being mindful with other people, difficulties. And I think that is a very good example of what is unconditional love. Many people will say, but I am very far from this. Well, when we are helping people in a very selfless manner, we are in practice connecting to the energy of unconditional love. You can say we are not to the extent of Mother Teresa, that obviously is a very important example of what is unconditional love, but slowly and gradually we can get more connected to unconditional love, because many people tend to be calculating. They will say, they consider like relationship like an exchange, a transaction. I give you something and you give me something back. Mm-hmm. But from the concept of unconditional love, you are generous for no reason. So unconditional love, and I completely agree that Mother Teresa is one important example, she was generous by nature. She was providing, not probably with funds, but she was providing with help, with love, with assistance, giving advice, helping communities, and also raising funds for these communities. So this was all love and all generosity. Many people have some difficulties to get generous because they're always speculating and also calculating what they can get in return. But the opposite approach should be taken, means what can I give? I always tell people in my courses, why don't you do three random acts of kindness per week at least? Random act of kindness means helping people that you don't know in the street, for example, or for example, when you go to a meeting or a person that you don't know very well, why don't you try to give them? And some people will say, but I cannot give money, I cannot give, like, I don't have enough money. You don't have to give material things. You can give a smile, you can give a hug, you can give advice, you can give technical support, you can give your time. These are very valuable things. People only think about the material aspect, but you can give also support, love, you can give thanks. People, if people help you, you can give thanks, and you can be supportive with them even when they didn't help you before. So it's important for people to get accustomed to support even people that are not in their circles, they're not known to them. So because we are all interconnected, if we all in this world will act this way, the world will be a better place, because we can help one another even without being asked for. So very important. So the concept of love and unconditional love that is comprised in the sentence, I love you, is related to generosity. You give for no reason. You try to provide with the best of you for no reason. You try to contribute to other people to make this a better world. So you can give in different ways. Even little things count. So, and it's also it's starting to make a habit of this, a positive habit. A question that will be very interesting for you to ask yourself in the morning will be, what can I give today? What is the thing, at least one thing that I can give today? Can I give a smile? If you can give a smile, you will receive a smile back, because mm-hmm. it's very contagious. Can I give, for example, some support to person with difficulties? So can I give my time? Even when I am very tight with the time, I have a very tight schedule. Can I give my time to this person that needs, for example, some advice or needs some directions? So very important to get accustomed to be much more generous. And you don't have to give necessarily money, but money is very important if you can do this, but also you can give immaterial things. So, and the world, your world will change. Not only you will change the world, but your world will change, because when you, this, everything is like a flow. When you give things, the universe give you things back. So when you give, it's like a flow. Giving and receiving are both sides of the same coin. When you give generously, selflessly, without speculating, without calculating, you receive much more from the universe, because it, the universe is in a state of flow. So, and giving and receiving is both sides of the same.
Yeah, it's reciprocal. It flows in both directions, and that's part of the universal process of an equal. I call it an exchange, that the universe demands an exchange all the time. I mean, that's just the way the universe operates. And I just wanted to add one other thing before we move on to the fourth and final, and that is the thought of paying it forward. There was an example. I could put this under the category of selfless in a manner of speaking. There was a situation that developed through a drive-through, where the person at the front of the line, of course, was buying their whatever they were purchasing, and said, "And I will also pay for the person behind me." And that person drove up, and they said, "Oh yeah, by the way, the person up there is taking care of yours. Would you like to?" And this went on for hours, went through 458 people or cars, 458 cars, right? Sadly, the 459th car refused to participate for whatever reason, their choice. But when you think about it, you know, nearly half a hundred people, half a thousand, nearly 500 people chose to take not only the risk, but also make the gesture of, you know, paying for the person behind them, not knowing what they're going to order, and so forth. And that's an interesting way of, if you will, paying it forward. There was that wonderful movie, of course, that came out that really brought that to light, at least for me. That's how I became aware of that concept. And it was very fascinating to watch that unfold. Let's move to our fourth and final element before we run out of time here. And that is the final phrase, thank you, dealing with gratitude and being appreciative. Let's talk about that. What is it that we are being thankful for in this context?
In this context, when you say thank you, some masters say that you can say also a longer sentence. For example, I thank you for becoming aware of these subconscious memories. But the purpose of saying thank you is double-fold. You are thanking, you are being grateful because you take full responsibility and you start with the deletion of these subconscious memories. But also, the other purpose is that as you say thank you on a continuous basis, because you are freeing yourself from these subconscious memories, you are creating free space in your mind to receive divine inspiration. So, and also you are thankful because you are receiving divine assistance. We have to understand that gratitude is supported by both religious and philosophies in life. And when you say thank you are focusing on the positive aspect of your life. So when naturally you say thank you are raising your energy, the same as love. Thankfulness or gratitude or appreciation is raising the energy. You cannot be negative and be thankful at the same time. It's very important. And when you say thank you, also is a way of life that is much more enlightened. So you're not focusing on the negative, but you're focusing on the positive. And in the context of Ho'oponopono, the positive aspect is that you are ridding yourself, you're getting rid of subconscious memories that are the only cause of your problems. Also, when you say thank you, you're raising your energy, and many metaphysicians will say it, because of the law of attraction, when you're raising your energy, you tend to attract positive things into your life. So you have to be thankful because you are taking responsibility, but also you are thankful because you are deleting these subconscious memories, and also you are thankful because you are receiving support from the divine. A very simple, you can say, how can I apply this in a practical way in my life? Well, the easiest way is to do Ho'oponopono on a continuous basis, saying the sentences, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. But if you want to go aside this, you can be grateful for anything that is around you. You can, for example, when you wake up in the morning, you can walk around your house or your flat and you look for things that you can be thankful for. For example, that you can drink a very nice tea in the morning. Doesn't have to be the big things. Could be very small things. Or, for example, that you have a good night sleeping. Or, for example, that the weather is nice, or the sky is the sun is very nice. So anything that is a way of being thankful. When you say thank you, you are celebrating life. Is an other way of celebrating life. This is very important, and you're focusing on the positive. Many people have the tendency to focus on the negative, to focus on worries, to focus on, for example, negative experiences, to focus on the negative news brought by the media, or to focus on negative comments from other people. You can shift your energy when you say thank you, because you're raising your energy. But also, this has another purpose, that when you say this on a continuous basis, you're not only raising your energy, but you're deleting these hindrances in your life that are these subconscious programs. So very, very important for people to be thankful at all times. In another way, for example, looking for things around them, and obviously being appreciative, little things or big things or people around you or situations that you have in your life that you can be appreciative, but many masters will say you can even be appreciative for negative situation in your life. You can say, but this doesn't make any sense. How can I be appreciative for negative situation in your life? From the Ho'oponopono perspective, you can be appreciative for this negative situation affecting your life because these are signs that you have memories to delete. This negative situation were created by your subconscious memories. And by saying, I am sorry, please forgive me. Mm-hmm. I love you. Thank you. You can delete these subconscious memories and this negative situation can be disappearing gradually. So thank you. To put it simply, it's raising your energy and helping you delete the subconscious memories.
Bruno Signacco is my guest and we're talking about the phrases, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and thank you. And turn that into a beautiful mantra as you also have the opportunity to pick up his latest work, How to Become a Miracle Worker with Your Life. We've been talking extensively about this particular project that he has put together for you. And Bruno, give us the best website for people to go to find out more about you and the work that you are doing.
Thank you very much. I want to be very appreciative of your invite. And my website is very simple. It's www.iaminfiniteabundance.com. www.iaminfiniteabundance.com. And they can find there free gifts. For example, they can find talks. They can find, for example, a free ebook. But also, they can have access to courses and also my books, How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, Techniques to Be More Prosperous. That is my previous book. And the last book that came in November, that is called How to Become a Miracle Worker with Your Life, Step to Use the Almighty Ancient Technique of Ho'oponopono.
Before we let you go, first of all, if you should find yourself in the States, we would love to have you here in Santa Barbara in studio to continue this conversation about the work that you're doing. And also thank you for the abundance of time that you have shared with us here on the program today and the work that you are doing. And wrap up with three final questions for you. Number one, who is Bruno Signacco?
Thank you very much. This is a very interesting question. I am in process of being discovering myself, but I will say that I'm a professional that is aware of a contribution to the world, and I'm trying to contribute, for example, with some texts and courses, and I'm also a university lecturer, but also I'm also delivering some courses on metaphysics, abundance, now Ho'oponopono, and obviously I can say that I am a person that has discovered his mission and also is enjoying the process a lot.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Very interesting question. And I thought about this a lot, and generally before going to bed. If I can only change slightly other people's life, my purpose in life will be fulfilled completely. So this is what generally I do with my courses and my books. I try to convey what I research on, what I tested personally myself, and also what worked for me, and also I want to share this. And obviously, if these books or courses or recordings can help other people, I will be very pleased, delighted. So this is generally what I am looking for, to impact on other lives in a positive way.
And Hello? Finally, what is your life's purpose?
Well, my life purpose is I feel very comfortable when writing or delivering some talks. And I think that my life purpose is to discover the truth behind all the dust, and also, if possible, the pieces of truth that I find on my way, try to share with other people. This is probably my most important purpose. So to learn first and to teach secondly. So I think that I'm a natural teacher in a very humble way, I say this, but I feel very satisfied when I am conveying the knowledge that I could gather before. And obviously I can disclose this in a very graceful manner.
Once again, Bruno Signaco, I thank you so much for taking this time to share with us, and look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Thank you very much for your invite. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this interview.
Once again, my guest, Bruno Signaco, he is the author of, again, I think, an extraordinary work, and it is entitled How to Become a Miracle Worker with Your Life. You can also go to the website that he mentioned, which is IamInfiniteAbundance.com. IamInfiniteAbundance.com. Until next time, here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Love to all.